the skills of the natural. Any close, whether it's a number close, where all you do is get a girl's phone number, a kiss close, or a sex close, requires a certain degree of good rapport and connection. With the skills of the natural, you can learn how to easily achieve rapport with a wide variety of women. For anyone who wants to become a natural with women and feel like he's always had that innate ability, this is the chapter to pay special attention to. I used to be a terrible conversationalist. I was boring on dates, useless in groups, a terrible public speaker, and unable to hold people's attention. Now I game like a natural. This means that I'm able to break down exactly what's necessary to be a naturally good conversationalist and to generate attraction. What's more, I can give you exercises to practice this skill on your own. During the first minute of an interaction, you need to do most of the talking. Anything that puts the conversational pressure on the girl you're interested in is something that she could use as an excuse to end the interaction. When she is comfortable and committed to the interaction, which could be instantly, but generally takes longer from a cold approach, you can start putting some of the conversational burden on her. The art of small talk. Women are sick of boring conversations with men. They've had the same ones over and over and over. If you can be different, you'll stand out hugely and quickly generate attraction. But first, what shouldn't you do if you're a good conversationalist? Avoid these common mistakes. I'm willing to bet that a lot of these mistakes will sound familiar to you. We've all made them. Interviewing her. Many women are approached and immediately put on the spot to answer a series of questions. The man's only response to her answers is usually, "Oh, really? So..." This quickly gets boring, and any woman who puts up with this for long must either be really attracted to you or be very, very polite or desperate. Don't ask a series of questions. Ask one and connect on that point. Then ask another. For advanced level skills, try to elicit the answer without asking the boring question. Make an assumption or guess about what she does, where she's from, or what food she likes. You get the same information, but it's more interesting for her. Hairdresser conversation. What kind of conversation do you have with a hairdresser, a person in line at the post office, or the aunt you see once every 6 months? It's probably boring and shallow. As in, you have the conversation, but aren't really listening and don't really care, and it's entirely unmemorable. Likewise, when you meet someone totally new, they typically say things like, "What do you do? Where are you from? Do you like films?" Blah, blah, blah. We all hate answering these questions over and over, yet we ask them of others. For attractive women who get approached regularly, it's even more of a turnoff. Stating the obvious. If a girl has pretty eyes, she's probably been told that 5,000 times. Find something more specific to say to her, preferably not about her appearance. Or don't compliment her at all. It's fine to give an obvious compliment with feeling when you're already together, but in the early stages, it's not what she wants. The aforementioned methods of eliciting information may either put conversational pressure on the girl or else they're boring. Here's what you should be doing instead. The following are some ways to elicit the standard information without asking boring questions. Ask leading questions. Instead of asking, "Where are you from?" say, "Are you Swedish?" Make some kind of personal guess that shows you're paying attention to her. Make assumptions and funny guesses. Instead of asking what she's doing, say, "Okay, so you're waiting to meet Steve. He's a guy you met on the internet, and you've no idea what he looks like, but he's going to be wearing a red shirt." She'll laugh, and then tell you what she's actually doing. Or even better, She'll play along with it, and you'll have a fun moment. Make up a silly scenario. What's she going to do with her friend? Why is she in your town? Another example, depending on whether you're at a bar or at Starbucks, would be, let me guess. So you've been shopping all day, bought loads of stuff, and now your feet are killing you. So you're going for a coffee or beer together. This kind of thing also gets you in the habit of focusing on women, making observations and cold reads. Over time, this skill develops, and you can usually guess correctly. Connect via conversational links. A link is a transition point given to you by your conversational partner that you can use to extend the interaction without starting a new, unrelated topic. Every time a woman opens her mouth, she's giving you a link. It might be her accent, the words she uses, or the information she gives you. If she tells you she's Brazilian and studying English in the States for 3 weeks, you have three links that you can feed off. Brazil, studying English, here for 3 weeks. Once you've established a connection by responding to a link in the conversational chain, you can then ask another question or elicit another link. Your goal with each link should be to connect in a positive way, enhancing the likelihood of rapport. The best way to do this is to talk positively about her. Less effective ways are to relate the point to your own experience, to be cliched, or to be negative. Let's look at the three levels of evolution in this area. 1. Conducting a high-pressure interview. You. What do you do? Her. I'm an artist. You. Cool. So, where are you from? Her. Switzerland. You. That's nice. What do you do in your spare time? Her. I like going to movies. Put yourself in the girl's position here. She's constantly under pressure. The spotlight is always on her, and she's been asked to contribute a lot of information while getting nothing in return. Regardless of her answer, you move straight on to the next question. This is because you're already thinking about the next question as she answers, instead of trying to use what she gives you in a unique way, depending on her response. Unfortunately, this is how most guys try to connect with girls. 2. Self-obsessed relating. You. What do you do? Her. I'm an artist. You. Cool. My brother is an artist. He makes these sculptures out of tin foil. He made one the other day of a fish that's really cool. So, where are you from? Her. Switzerland. You. Oh, great. I have a Swiss watch and I like Swiss chocolates. My friend went to Switzerland on holiday, said it was great. What do you do in your spare time? Her. I like going to the movies. You. I love watching films too. I saw that new one with Johnny Depp. That was cool. I want to watch that other new one coming out next week. Forgot the name. What's going on here is that you're using the link, taking the pressure off the girl. So it's better than the interview. However, you're not making a connection. In fact, you're putting up a barrier. You're saying, in effect, anything you say I will relate to my reality and won't try to understand yours. When someone is talking about himself, it's less interesting than when he's talking about you. In this kind of conversation, the girl won't want to give more to the interaction because you haven't shown empathy or understanding. To get faster rapport and connection, you need to learn to have conversations like this. 3. Taking things deeper. You. What do you do? Her. I'm an artist. You. Interesting. I like that. I imagine you must see the world in a different way than most people. You must be able to appreciate beauty in more things. Where are you from? Her. Switzerland. You. You don't look like it, but I've heard that people from Switzerland are quite conventional and really stick to rules and things. You look more like a bit of a rebel, Just look at that hairstyle. What's a hobby of yours? Her. I like watching movies. You. I guess that, being a creative person, you must enjoy seeing other people's creativity. But when you look at art, perhaps you always see the technical aspects as well. So it must be nice to go to a movie and just enjoy the experience. This dialogue uses snippets from a real conversation. But in the actual conversation, I didn't jump around the topics in that way, because I was talking with and about an actual person. Because I was making an attempt both to understand her and to get things right, she opened up easily, jumping in and expanding things, and the conversation got deep very quickly. This final example, showing how even relatively boring questions can be used effectively, reveals that learning to relate to a woman's reality is a very powerful technique. Dance floor game. Can you pick up girls on the dance floor? If you can't, you're limiting yourself severely. There are tons of girls who love dancing that you won't be able to approach. My philosophy, back when I was first learning, was that I wanted to be able to pick up a girl I was attracted to at any time, in any place, and in any situation. As someone with two left feet, I felt uncomfortable in clubs and was very self-conscious. Dance floor game didn't come easy. Now I can dance a little bit, at least I'm on the beat, but the main thing is that I'm not self-conscious and I have fun dancing. Yes, I actually enjoy it. There are a few ways to pick up a girl on the dance floor. It will always be more of a numbers game because it's non-verbally direct, but with a bit of practice, you can up your odds. Dance floor tips. The first thing you need to do is differentiate yourself from the other guys on the dance floor. They're doing a couple of things that you should not do. Do not do this. Stand around the girls, checking them out while not dancing yourself. Make a sad attempt to dance without being into the music, just trying to get near the girls. Grind on a girl's ass. Do this. Have fun dancing around without trying to get near the women. Enjoy yourself. Enjoy the music. When you're a man having fun on the dance floor, you'll immediately stand out from all the other men. The women will move away from all the other guys, who are drooling over them or trying to grind on them, and gather around you. You can then mirror a particular girl's dancing in an exaggeratedly funny way, get eye contact, and force interest. Initiate a dance-off with the girl, where you gesture to her to watch your moves, then bust a silly little move and point at her expectantly. On the edge of the dance floor with girls who aren't quite dancing, you can say, "Do you like dancing?" If they say yes, say, "Do you salsa?" And, as you say it, take them and start salsaing. Tip. You need only about 4 salsa lessons to be able to do the basic steps, which are all you'll require. Trust me, you can quickly Kino escalate from the salsa opener. It works pretty much each and every time. Structure of a dance floor seduction. The tips before illustrate a few common mistakes men make on the dance floor. In addition, sometimes men attempt to communicate too verbally, which doesn't work because of the sound level. Other times they end up simply dancing opposite their partner and don't escalate from there, so she walks off. Here is the process for a dance floor escalation, from seeing a girl you like to kissing her. 1. Open non-verbally. Hip bump, eye contact, gesture, other non-verbal acknowledgement. 2. Dance opposite each other for 20 seconds or so, maintaining eye contact at least 90% of the time. 3. Step in closer, introduce yourself, and have a very brief verbal exchange, 20 seconds max. This will tell her that you're now in an interaction. Now she won't just leave because she knows you're interested and confident enough to talk to her. 4. dance opposite her again, and, after a short time, offer your hands. Continue dancing, holding her hands in a push-pull fashion, introducing spins if you feel comfortable with them. Maintain eye contact. Now we have some progress, but to get to the kiss close, we need to slow things down. Clubs don't generally play music that has a seductive rhythm. Their tempo is much too fast. That doesn't need to stop you. You're leading the dance at a certain speed, so you can gradually slow it down and get a little closer, while maintaining complete eye contact. To escalate from this position to the kiss is easy, since 90% of the work is already done. It requires only a step or two more. You can try running your fingers through her hair, or kissing her on the cheek, and then moving on to the lips. Alternatively, if you can see that she's ready, just go directly for the kiss. Attraction building. Whether you make contact on the dance floor or use your new small talk skills to chat up a woman at the bar, at some point she's going to want to contribute to the conversation. When she starts to ask you questions, you want to be ready. Here's how to keep things moving in the direction you want, no matter how good her questions. Have interesting answers to standard questions. There are certain questions and conversational paths that occur again and again for each person. Think about what yours are and make your input more interesting. If a conversation gets boring because the girl starts asking boring questions, she won't realize it's her fault. She'll just know she's bored. The obvious one is, what do you do? Either make your job interesting or describe it with passion. If it's undeniably dull, be brief and switch to something more interesting, like a hobby. But anyway, that's work. What I really like to do is... Avoid these topics. Religion. Contentious political issues. Violence. Bad past relationships. Anything negative. Talk with passion. If you can talk with passion about things you care about, your energy draws people in. If you enjoy something, let it show. Be expressive, using visual and emotive language. People will get caught up in it and start to feel good, too. When they feel good, they'll want to talk to you more. A mid-game case study. Let's put it all together with an example of the natural and situational opener. The following interaction was a real demonstration for a student. I recorded it on MP3, and the transcript runs here. There are many techniques used that you can continue to refer to. You'll hear more each time you listen. A girl stands alone in Leicester Square, London, with arms crossed, looking pretty unfriendly. Me. Hi. You're crossing your arms and I study body language, so I could say that's because you're closed or in a bad mood. But I was noticing a lot of people standing like this recently, and either people are more closed at this time of year, or more people are cold. Laughs. So, are you in a bad mood, or are you just cold? Girl. I'm cold. I'm bantering without putting conversational pressure on her. This is necessary because I have no indication of interest, and she looks unapproachable. Me. See, people take this body language stuff too seriously. They need to put more disclaimers in these books. People crossing their arms are closed, unless they also might be cold. People stroking their hair are attracted to you, unless their hair is in their face and they can't see anything. Laughs. You look like you're waiting for someone. Girl. Yeah, I'm waiting for my friend. At this point, I don't immediately ask another question, like, who? Or, what time were you meant to be here? Or, what are you going to do together? This would be natural, but not very interesting. She has given me another link that I can feed off, so I should use it. Her body language is opening up, and she's receptive to the interaction. Me. I hate waiting for people here. You can't call them because they're on the subway, and there are so many people here you keep thinking, is that them? Is that them? The time goes way slower than when you're waiting somewhere less hectic. So let me guess, it's your old school friend and you're meeting for the 10-year reunion dinner? Girl. Laughs. Well, it's my friend from college, but we're going for a coffee. What's your name? This is a big sign of interest. She's asking a question of me. It isn't related to the topic, and it's personal, which means she wants to know more about me and extend the interaction. Me. Richard. And you? Girl. I'm Anna. Both. Nice to meet you. Shake hands. Me. Wow, your hands are cold. Takes other hand too and squeezes them both. I've quickly done a quite intimate thing that jumpstarts a sexual frame. Me. So is your friend cute? Girl. Laughs. She is, actually. Me. Cool. So we can all go to coffee together, but we can't stay long. We need to be somewhere. Tell her I'm your fiancé, that we met last week. It was a whirlwind romance, and that we flew to Vegas, got married by Elvis, and came back yesterday. Both laugh. Assignment number 4. Practice your new conversational skills on your social circle. See if you can make the women feel good and get a deeper level of connection than you normally do. You'll notice that you get a much better reaction from people and can even use these skills at work. Push-pull. The technique I call push-pull involves mixing up an interaction. The push part is when you get closer to her and become more friendly and intimate and complimentary. The pull part is when you move away, break the connection, and seem a little disinterested or distracted. Push-pull is great because it accomplishes a couple of things. It establishes you as high status. Other guys wouldn't dare do this. It gives her an emotional roller coaster ride, a necessary ingredient for a great pickup. Push-pull works especially well on sassy girls. The tougher and more confident and testier, the better. It can fall flat on the sweet, innocent type, so don't use it on every girl you meet. Here are some examples of lines you can use for this effect. You're like my bratty little sister. Do you have hot friends? Would you like me to buy you a drink? You're too young, /old for me. Wow, you ask loads of questions. Do you want my resume? You're a nice girl with bad girl mannerisms. You're a bad girl with nice girl mannerisms. Normally I'd be really attracted to you, but I think you're just acting cool, so I'll buy you a drink. Your first impression kind of sucked, but actually you're the coolest girl I've talked to in the last 15 minutes. You're cool. Can you help me pick up chicks? The hook point and indicators of interest. The hook point is that moment when a girl shows interest in extending the interaction. She's clearly happy for you to stick around and talk more. You can tell you've reached the hook point when she asks you questions. She asks your name. She gives extended answers to your questions. Her body language becomes more open. Once you've reached the hook point, you should look for indicators of sexual interest. You'll know she's sexually interested when she strokes her neck when in conversation with you. She looks at your mouth. She tilts her head to the side when speaking to you. Her pupils dilate. She laughs too much at your jokes, even when they aren't funny. She seems happy listening to you, even when you're talking rubbish. She holds eye contact with you and doesn't look around the room or at her friends. Note, if she's nervous, or if it's just not in her character to hold strong eye contact, she could still be interested. She's comfortable with your touching her and invading her space. She shows willingness to leave her friends and stay with you. She laughs and hits you on the shoulder when you tease her. She looks at you in a dreamy kind of way. She asks if you're single. She's comfortable with pauses in the conversation. She uses your name in conversation. She leans into you. The rapport phase, strengthening the connection. In talking about the skills of the natural earlier in this chapter, I spoke of how to make connections with a woman. This continues now in the rapport phase. The difference is that the goal has become finding a reason to see her again and discovering mutual interests. Here are some tips to help you build rapport with a woman you've connected with. Be observant. Notice things about her appearance, clothes, accessories, hair, nails, jewelry. Women usually put a lot of time and effort into the way they look. Her bag, for example, might have been chosen to match her shoes, belt, earrings, and dress. Most people don't notice such things, so she'll be happy if you do. Furthermore, jewelry and accessories also often have a story behind them, which means they may mean something special to the girl. If you ask about that beautiful old cameo she's wearing, she may associate you with the warm feelings she has for the grandmother who gave it to her. Talk about things that evoke passion and feeling. What is she very passionate about? It might be anything from friends and family to travel or ballet. Connect on these points by showing that you understand why she feels that way. I've told you to avoid asking the usual boring questions. So what kind of things would it be okay to ask? The best questions build comfort and create a connection that elicits emotion. Here are some good examples. Do you remember your first day at school? This is something that she probably won't have talked about for a long time, but it has strong emotions attached to it. To ask a question like this, you can't just say, "Where are you from? What do you do? Do you remember your first day at school?" You'll need to root the question first, leading into it smoothly. You could do this by saying, "You know, I was walking down the street this morning, and I passed a bakery and smelled freshly baked apple pie. It immediately took me back to when I was 6 years old, and I spent the next 30 minutes walking around like a kid with a silly expression on my face, because I was remembering my childhood so vividly. What about you? Do you remember your first day at school?" After she has given her response, you should connect on it. You could say, "I can just imagine you with your My Little Pony lunchbox skipping to school." Next, you should relate your own story. If you can connect like this on a few emotional topics, then you've built a deep connection in a short amount of time. You'll already have talked about stuff that's not normally talked about until you've dated a girl for 3 months or so. If you could wake up tomorrow anywhere in the world, where would it be? This is another good question, and it replaces boring questions such as, "Do you like travel?" and "Did you go on vacation this year?" This one doesn't need so much rooting. It could simply be, "I need a vacation. Let me ask you, if you could wake up anywhere in the world tomorrow, where would it be?" Connect on her answer. "Yeah, lying on the beach with the sun beating down, the sound of the ocean." Then relate your own dream vacation in vivid detail. "Are your friends mostly men or women?" This gets her talking about people she cares about, and her response will tell you something about her character. The question is an unthreatening one with no right answer, so she'll feel comfortable responding openly. What's the one thing you can't say no to? This is a good way to find out something she really enjoys. It could be chocolate, perhaps fresh orange juice. Whatever it is, it should make her eyes light up. You can then connect by describing how good it is to eat that chocolate, how it feels when you put it in your mouth and taste it as it melts. Do this, and watch how you can lead her into a desiring state. What talents do you have that would surprise me? This is a great question and a challenge. Early on in an interaction, she won't feel any need to answer challenging questions. By the rapport phase, though, she'll feel some pressure to respond to a question like this to prove herself to you. Remember that she's likely to ask the same back to you, so have something ready. Have you ever been in love? Ask this, and then dig a bit deeper about the times she has been in love. Don't ask what happened. This would focus on the breakup. Make her want those feelings again. Since she's with a cool guy, she'll probably be imagining them with you. This is a great one for a couple of reasons. First, it brings out the emotions and memories connected with love. Second, it starts her imagining a relationship with you. When you've done this, you'll already have a deep connection with the girl. On numerous occasions, girls have told me that after just a few hours, they feel like they've known me for months. The reasons are, I'm completely comfortable, open, and relaxed with the woman. I'm making her as comfortable as she normally feels after 3 months. She's feeling things that she would normally only feel within a committed relationship. She's talking about things she would only normally talk about with very close friends, family, or a long-term boyfriend. Build attraction by breaking rapport. Breaking rapport is one of the most powerful things you can do to build attraction. When you add it to your game, you'll see a dramatic improvement. Breaking rapport involves disagreeing with the woman you're trying to seduce on a particular point or expressing a contrary view. To exemplify its importance, imagine being a hot woman for a moment. You are being approached by a string of smiling, nodding men, and you feel as if you can't do or say anything wrong. You could say you love cats, and they'd say they love cats. You could say you like torturing cats, and they'd say, cool. Okay, maybe that's going too far, but we all know that the natural thing to do when with a beautiful woman is to go into me too mode, where you agree with her on everything and try desperately to connect. You assume that similarities will bring you closer. This might generally be true, but the me too approach is what 99% of men do, and you've probably realized from listening to this book that it's what 99% of men don't do that brings you success. Imagine being that beautiful woman again. Men will agree with you on everything and think everything you do is just great. You know there are things they shouldn't like about you, but they don't express those dislikes. This means you won't fully trust them. You'll think they're after one thing only, and so their compliments won't be worth as much. The answer to this is to break rapport. But you mustn't do it on big things that have an emotional connection for her. Don't call her passion for painting lame, but you can break rapport on casual interests like Harry Potter books, independent films, etc. When you say that something she likes sucks, it makes it twice as powerful when you later say that you appreciate something about her. If you say, "Oh, I love Harry Potter too. Oh yes, I love musicals." And then say, "I have a good feeling about you. We should meet again." You come off as fake. Better to say, "Harry Potter, I couldn't even get halfway through the first book. I caught The Lion King, but wouldn't see another musical anytime soon." And then, "I love your laugh." The compliment has a much stronger effect in this latter case, because you've shown that you say what you mean and mean what you say. You don't want to break rapport too early, though. Do it after the hook point, and just enough to show that she can do something wrong and lose you. The point is not to lower her self-esteem or make her feel stupid. It's just to show that you can disagree and that you have your own views and opinions. If you do break rapport, the best thing to do is quickly change the subject, to avoid turning your conversation into an argument. Don't be afraid to tell the truth. It actually increases trust and connection, as well as dialing up attraction. trust and honesty are keys to gaining people's respect. Breaking rapport is a way to be honest without hurting people's feelings. If you notice yourself me-tooing and not getting as much attraction as you'd like after the hook point, try breaking rapport combined with genuine compliments, and also try challenges. Issue challenges. Challenges are ways to establish that you're the selector, aka the high-value person in the interaction. You chose her, not the other way around. Most guys will passively let themselves be selected, so if you can challenge a woman, it'll be uniquely attractive. You need to have earned some value, however, before she'll respond and try to meet your challenges. Some examples of challenges you can issue are: if everyone looked the same, how would you stand out? Can you cook? Are you rich? Beauty is common, so what do you have to make me more and more attracted as I get to know you? There are three things I look for in a woman. The first is, insert quality, e.g. confidence. The second is, passion. And the third is, no, I'm not telling you. She will almost certainly follow up with a question. Why not? You might fake it. These examples communicate that you're picky and won't date just any girl. Looks are not enough. This makes you more attractive because you're telling her, in a way that comes across subconsciously, that you're high value. This is the outer game way to challenge a girl. It's a tricky business, though. If the thoughts in your mind are about how much you want her and how you'd do anything for her, there will be conflict between your nonverbal and verbal communication. Women are sensitive and will pick up on things subconsciously. They might not mention them or even consciously know that they've noticed, but they'll be affected positively by friendly challenging. You can start with artificial challenges, such as the ones previously listed, but you should aim very quickly to use natural challenges, things that grow out of the conversation. Natural, genuine challenges do far more than simply establish you as a high-value man. They draw out a woman's character and preferences. Before I started using challenges, I got into a few relationships that were just plain wrong for me. One of the very first girls that I dated was totally unsuited for me. At first, things seemed perfect because I was so happy to be in a relationship with a pretty girl. Well, with any girl. We had romantic picnics in the park. She stayed over at my house many times, and I stayed at hers. She introduced me to her friends, and I did the same. On the surface, and in my mind, things were great. But after 3 weeks, she became difficult to get a hold of on the phone, and sent me an email saying that she thought we should just be friends. She dumped me. We were very different. She smoked cigarettes and weed, and I didn't. She liked different food, enjoyed different music, and had a different outlook on life. Instead of being solid in my own reality, I showed her that I would change for her. I downloaded the music she liked to my MP3 player, and even said I'd smoke weed with her. I called her every day, and this became a problem. I was always available. She dumped me after 3 weeks because I liked her more than she liked me. I looked at her like I loved her, and she felt stifled. The funny thing was that a few months after she dumped me, I found a recording on my MP3 player. It was the last conversation we had on the last day that I saw her. My player must have accidentally switched on and been recording in my pocket. I could barely listen to it, not because it brought back sad memories, but because of how weak, needy, and unattractive I sounded. I was seeking approval, validation, letting her take charge, asking her to please stay longer, asking when we could meet again. It was sickening. I was breaking all the rules I'd learned and knew very well. I was doing what so many men do. Women become so important to us that this is how we act when we finally get one. The knowledge I'd learned wasn't enough to stop me from making the mistakes men have been making for centuries. After she dumped me, I was crushed for 2 weeks. I thought that every time I was in love with a girl, she'd dump me. But then I decided to take action. I sat down and figured out what I needed to do to not have this happen again. I never did make the same mistake, and if you complete the preceding mission, you'll avoid it completely. Your mission. Get a pen and describe on paper your ideal woman. What character attributes does she have? Does she smoke? Does she keep fit? Is she a leader or follower? Is she kind and generous? Can she dance? Can she sing? Is she sharp? Is she educated? Does she read poetry or celebrity gossip? Does she like Disney films or action flicks? Does she like sushi? Is she well-traveled? Once you have your list, when you go out to meet women, some interesting changes will take place. First off, you won't be as intimidated by a girl's looks, because you'll be looking for something more, for particular traits and skills. If you can work questions that address the attributes of your ideal women into an interaction, you'll flip the dynamic. Your conversational partner will have to start qualifying herself to you. You're positioning yourself as the selector and seeing if she matches up to your requirements. 99% of men don't do this, and you'll see how women start chasing you if you do. Second, this technique will help you avoid bad relationships, the kind that are doomed to fail from the start, but that you force to work for a while because you really want a girlfriend, or because this particular girl is really cute. When you understand what you really want, you'll know very quickly whether a woman is girlfriend material, a cool chick you can party with, or a girl you might have a sexual relationship with, but nothing more. Isolate for deeper rapport. To close a girl, in most cases, you need to isolate her. Have you ever noticed that conversations with large groups are very lightly topical, compared to one-on-one interactions where the subject matter can go very deep? Which conversation is more likely to bring out emotions, to help you get to know someone better and form a bond? That's why we need to isolate. My definition of isolation isn't that you're the only people in the location, but that the two of you are the only people in the conversation. Her friends could be 3 feet away, or even closer, as long as they're not involved in the conversation. For me, the easiest way to isolate a girl is to turn her away from her group. She doesn't need to leave them completely and walk away with you, just as long as she isn't looking at them. A student once asked me to open a girl who was part of a group of 6. Now, I could have opened the whole group, bantered for a while, won them over, and then tried to isolate the chosen woman from there. But there are 2 reasons why I don't like doing this. First, I don't always want to exert enough energy to entertain a huge group in a noisy location. Second, my problem in the past has been that if I involve myself too much in the group, they all want to talk to me, and isolating one girl then becomes difficult. She feels social pressure as well, because all eyes are on her. So in the aforementioned case, I wanted to isolate the girl under the radar. Having noticed that the group had pretty much split in half, I approached, quickly established physical contact with her, turning her around by the shoulder before saying a word, introduced myself, and, lo and behold, we were isolated as soon as she turned away from her 2 friends. With a pair of girls, isolation is very difficult. Generally speaking, you need a wingman in this situation. For a group of 3, my simple isolation strategy is to open everyone, reach the hook point, and then deliver a personal statement to the girl I like. Example, observation about her jewelry. The key here is to speak your isolating statement at a lower volume and break eye contact with the others. They will typically then engage each other, while the eye contact and attention you're paying the girl should ensure that she continues it with you. You next sidestep slightly around the girl and away from the other girls, so she has to turn to face you. You're now isolated. Wasn't that easy? Leading to isolate. When it comes to moving from the hook point toward the close, you generally want to be leading the girl at all times. Let's go dance. Let's sit down. And let's go get a drink are all ways to lead and isolate. Others include, come over into the light, and let's go over there. It's less crowded, / noisy, / smoky. Take it one step further. Deep rapport. Use this technique with caution. I call the closes I can get with this method GF closes, short for girlfriend. I'm careful to do this only with girls I genuinely feel something for. It's wrong to use it on those I would only consider for a casual relationship. Deep rapport is a way to get a soulmate-level connection with the girl and go beyond anything she has ever felt before. Achieving deep rapport is a simple two-stage process. Once mastered, it can be done on the fly with any girl. The steps are 1. Elicit emotional content. 2. Give feedback and connect. First, I'll explain the process, and then I'll give an example that illustrates how to apply this technique. Okay, so how do you do that first step of eliciting emotional content? It's not that hard, actually. These subjects typically have emotions attached to them. Passions and interests. Memories, e.g. of childhood. Future ambitions and dreams. People close to us. Let's use the example of passions, the first item listed. But remember that what follows applies to all of the above. Your goal should be to get down to this deep emotional level and connect. Every person has things they're passionate about. These aren't critical, must-do activities, but things that provide a sense of joy, achievement, or simply being fully alive. Some examples could be dancing, either watching or doing, going to the theater, checking out museums, creating art, playing an instrument, reading or writing fiction, going fishing, golfing, reading or writing poetry, collecting something. These all share common elements. They are ways that people choose to spend their time. You have passions. I have passions, and the girls you meet will have passions. Let's look at some typical ways that passions are dealt with in conversation. Girl. Actually, I practice ballet. I've done it for 10 years. Guy. Cool. You must be very flexible. Or, in response to the girl's same comment about ballet. Guy. Cool. I saw Swan Lake. Or, Guy. Ugh, my mum made me do it when I was a kid. I hated it. Or, Guy. I'd like to see you in your tutu. Or, Guy. Me too. Or, Guy. Cool, I like football. This covers a lot of the common responses to ballet or any other passion. Let's think about this for a second. The girl has revealed to a guy, let's say you, something that she's very passionate about. She's done it for 10 years, purely out of a personal sense of commitment. And yet in all the previous examples, her offer to you has been rejected. You might as well have asked if she likes oranges, because you've treated her passion in a superficial way. If you're going to take any of these approaches to things that matter, you might as well stay on superficial subjects. Don't dismiss her passion in any of the previous ways. Connect with her on it. You could lie and say how much you love ballet. I don't like to lie, so I wouldn't do this. What you can do, even if you hate ballet, is be empathetic. Imagine why she loves to dance, what she feels when she dances. By expressing that empathy, you show that you understand why she loves ballet without saying that you love it. It's something she's probably never heard before from a guy, and it establishes the soulmate connection. My answer would be made up on the spot, following the guideline of seeking to empathize as to why she might love ballet. Me. Wow, that's so cool. You must be very dedicated to have kept it up for 10 years. I mean, when you're young, it's easy. But as you get older, you get more and more commitments. This is a standard connection for any long-term committed passion. Or, me. So you must really love dancing. Most people have their 9-to-5 jobs and come home and watch TV. It's refreshing to find someone with a passion that's expressive and artistic. This is standard for any artistic or creative passion. Or, me. People might think that dancing is just learning steps and performing them, but I think it really brings out the soul in someone. You can dance robotically by perfectly learning the steps, but it's when you really feel them that you become great. I also imagine that it's a way of expressing your feelings through the movement of your body, like an artist does on canvas, or a musician does through an instrument. When you're in the moment, you're expressing yourself through the way you move. It must go back to before we communicated with speech and used dance and ritual to express our emotions. I'd love to see you perform sometime. You can see why this is so powerful. It can be applied to any passion, whether you empathize with it or not. The following are some things that you probably don't do yourself, but that doesn't mean you can't connect with people who comment about their love for these activities. Fishing is about being with nature, experiencing serenity, being alone with your thoughts, and enjoying anticipation mixed with excitement when you catch something. Stamp collecting is about a sense of achievement. Each stamp has a memory attached because it's from a different time in your life. Your stamp book is like a book of memories. Going out and getting drunk on a Friday night is about how you've been stressed at work all week and are finally able to be yourself with your friends, completely in the moment. It's about just feeling the enjoyment without a care in the world, that sense of release from it all. Overview of conversational skills. You may be feeling swamped about now, awash in techniques and approaches you need to remember. Take a deep breath. None of this is rocket science. It's just not that hard. If you can carry on a conversation, you can get a girl. Before we move on to using touch as a tool to take you to rapport and beyond, let's see if we can't consolidate the needed conversational skills. Step 1. Mastering eye contact. Let's start with eye contact, that most basic form of communication. Most guys either break eye contact nearly all the time, or break it at exactly the time when they should maintain it. A small number of guys have a creepy, weird, or just generally bad form of eye contact that makes a woman uncomfortable. Instead of avoiding eye contact, as experience has probably taught them to do, these guys need to work on their problem. A few things dictate how your eye contact comes across to another person. Whether you blink the usual amount of times, you should. Whether your head is pushed forward ahead of the rest of your body, it shouldn't be. Whether your eyes are opened more than seems natural, as they might be when, say, you're surprised. If you're trying hard to hold eye contact, you'll end up staring, which may cause this excessive opening to happen. Whether your intent is positive and affirming. If you hate women and just want to fuck them, some of this will come through in your eyes, and women won't like you. If this is you, you don't need PUA training, you need a psychotherapist. Your intent should be as healthy and sincere as possible. If a guy has generally good eye contact, he'll still likely break it in the following way. Him. Hey, do you like pizza? Her. No. Him. Breaks eye contact, then allows 2-second pause. Looks back. Right, so what food do you like? This exchange might sound fine, but it's actually a conversation killer. Let's look at why. In the early moments of a conversation, we're trying to establish various important connections, including the following types that eye contact can help with. Hold her attention. Try the following. First, get someone to look at your foot and talk to you. Then look away and think about how it feels. Now make that person hold eye contact and talk. Look away again. When you looked away the first